Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience.
Hello and welcome back to BTFU's new show, They Don't Want It. Lads, where has this name come from? What's going on here?
It's pretty simple. You know, when you were growing up, if you ever dropped the ball, the opposition would say, they don't want it. And they don't want to hear what Darce and I have to say, especially.
But they're going to hear it anyway. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Mace came up with a few names before recording. I didn't want that at all. So if there's something I don't want, it's fucking all those shit names. Let's talk about your players of the week, lads, because we've obviously got, you've both come up with players of the week from last round. Darce, I'll start with you, mate. Who stood out for you?
I'm going to go Reece Walsh this week.
Yeah.
He was what would we say, electric?
Yeah.
Like, he was everything that I wasn't as a player. High paid, fast, scores tries, unbelievable. Like, you see him when he gets out of the back of
good looking.
Yeah, good looking. Oh. Anyways.
Ouch.
You know, see him when he gets out of the back of those sweep plays, like, he skips across like two people in like a blink of a second. Look, it's unbelievable. But I'm going to go off topic here for a minute. What do you reckon his Instagram DMs are like?
Oh, jeez.
Could you imagine it?
Oh. Yeah, he'd be on fire, the kid.
Do you reckon he's sending any 3 a.m.s you up?
For sure. Up to 3 a.m. creepers, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Those are the days.
Tell you what, his DMs would be better than mine, just quietly. What about you, Ren? What about you?
Mate, I can't go past Zach Lomax. Everything he touches turns to gold. He goes to center. He kicks a 40-meter field goal. You know, he's under the high ball. He's outstanding. He's the Dally M leader at the moment.
Yep.
So,
how insane is that a winger's the Dally M leader this season?
Wingers do a lot more than they used to. You know, we used to bag wingers, but man, the amount of carries they're taking, they're just as tough as forwards these days. So, Zach's been, he's had a great year and he's hit a real purple patch and he's playing outstanding.
Well, let's talk about Zach for a minute. Obviously, some would say he's a smoky. Some would say that he's pretty much locked in now for the Blues. Darce, I'll start with you, mate. Yep. What are your thoughts? Do you think that he's locked in?
Yeah, well, Madge has come out and said that he's picking players of form this year. So, there's probably no better player in form for centre wing. I don't know where you put him. And, you know, he says he doesn't like playing the wing. But I guess if there's a wing spot up for grabs or for Origin, he's going to jump at it. So, I think at the moment, barring injury, he'll be in the team.
Do you think he's better on the wing than he is at centre?
Well, he started the year well there, didn't he? And then he's moved to centre and he's just as good. Like, his game on the weekend was outstanding. So, I think that he can play centre or wing. Like, he's just a real athlete. So, it's a shame he's not going to Para this year.
Yeah. What about you, Randy?
Yeah, look, he's it's an aerial assault. Like, what he's doing under the high ball hasn't been seen since probably Israel. But that was more of an attacking kick on the try line, and you used to be able to get your blockers in front or be able to run someone off the ball, and now that it's so heavily penalised, you can't do that anymore. And Dragons are putting bombs up in yardage.
Yeah.
And for him to run 30, 35 metres down the field, get over the top of a winger or a fullback, catch the ball on the fly. It's it hasn't been. I don't think I've seen that ever. So what he's bringing to the Dragon side obviously is an attacking option in Origin. Origin is about, it's played in the middle third of the field. But if you can add something to your fifth tackle option, Zach Lomax is it.
Is he a player in Origin? I know it'd be probably his first game in Origin, but is he someone you're giving a bit of a roaming license to, Ren?
I think he's that type of kid that doesn't shy away from the bright lights. Like, he's going to go out there as if he's played 10, 15, 20 games. Remember when Hainsey used to play Origin?
Yeah.
Just the stuff they used to do, or GI played Origin. It was, I think Zach Lomax is cut from the same cloth. You put a sky blue jersey on him, and he's not going to shy away from a challenge.
Yeah, not at all. I'm so keen to see how he goes. So keen to see how he goes. Let's get straight into our next point. The Bulldogs. How well are they going at the moment?
Man, I mean, they're a club that's been heavily scrutinised and over the last few years, and then people were obviously questioning some of Serrato's selections or positional selections early at the start of the year. But what you see from the Dogs now is a really connected team.
Mm.
They are genuinely playing for each other defensively. Now they're playing to their strengths. So what I mean by that is that they're getting the ball to the edge, but they're pulling the trigger in yardage. They're not trying – their try line attack hasn't been great. So they're starting to attack further down the field to create options for Kikau, for Adokar, Sherry, Crichton on the right side. So what they're doing is outstanding. They are playing to their strength. If you could sprinkle a little bit more class into the side, great. They'd be a top four team. But just seeing how much they're buying into Serrato's philosophy is it's outstanding to see. And look, the entertainers of the 80s, you know, that's in the past. The Dogs of War in the 90s and the early 1000s, that's in the past. Now it's about that particular squad creating their own identity and their own legacy. And it's exciting to see. And as a Bulldog fan, you know, I couldn't be prouder of them.
You said that the Dogs of War are in the past, but is there anyone from the current side that you sort of, it reminds you of a player that you've maybe played with the Dogs?
Look, I think I played in a really special era. So did the players of the 90s. It's yet to be seen. And I just think what they're doing and creating their own destiny is something that's really exciting. You know, they don't need to compare themselves to any of the previous teams. It's a new era. It's all about them. It's their team. It's Serrato's team. As long as they understand the fabric and the foundation of the club, which they do, then whatever they create from there is it's going to be good to be a Bulldog supporter.
Darce, I'll throw to you, mate, being a front rower yourself, watching the pack on the weekend, obviously you've got a halfback on the bench, you've got Blake Taff on the bench. They only had one front rower there, and yet they're competing against a really strong Knights forward pack. Talk to me about that.
It goes back to what Rennie was saying. They're playing for each other. They're playing for their coach. It doesn't really – well, it does matter who you put out there, but, you know, you see their team list sometimes in the forward pack. You think, oh, they probably need one or two more front rowers or something, but they're all just ripping in. And, you know, their highest paid forward would probably be Kikau. He's leading by example there. I thought he's been outstanding. And I go back to a time on the weekend when I think they were up by 30 and he – ran like 20 metres desperate to save a try, and he held him up. So that's a good sign for him. And, you know, as long as they keep that mentality of working for each other, I think they'll be fine. And, you know, over the next year or two, they put, like Rennie said, they put a sprinkle a little bit more class in there. Mate, they'll be at the top.
Their effort areas are great. And, you know, people like Filiami's really implemented that coming from a Penrith system that are the best at effort areas. Another thing that you got to support, well, compliment Serrato on is he's stuck with his combinations, right? So everyone was calling for Drew Hutchinson. He might not be the best athlete, but he's got a great footy brain, a good IQ, and he'll get to points, and he will always try. Like, he'll always do his best, and he's stuck with him and Burton. Even though, you know, everyone was sort of calling for a different half to come in, but he's stuck solid with his combination. And that's what you want from your coach. You want trust. And all the other players feed off that kind of trust. So, mate, they're a club that's on the rise. You know, the SG ball team just made the grand final. So not only are they improving in first grade, their juniors are doing well.
Yeah, it's so exciting for what is in store for the Bulldogs in the future. Now, talking about the same game here, obviously Callum Ponga, obviously devastating injury that's going to see him out for between 12 weeks to the season with a Lisfranc fracture, which is at the top of your foot. So devastating for a guy that has just been riddled with concussions, been absolutely smacked with injury. Das, what are the thoughts on this one?
Obviously disappointing. Like, they have not been playing well this year at all, the Knights. You know, I've seen a lot of sort of criticism about whether Ponga should have been played or not because he had I'm pretty sure it was a hip pointer.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's got anything to do with a Lisfranc injury. Like, a hip pointer, as we know, is a bruise of the rib. I mean, a bruise of the hip, sorry. you know, he's their highest paid player, he's their leader, and players want to get out and play injured, you know what I mean? And I don't think that had any, I don't think that has anything to do with his new injury, but it's like they're in wooden spoon territory now, I think, for the rest of the year.
Well, you had a few groin injuries back to back, if I'm right. Talk to me about being in that situation as a player that has been having back to back injuries.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been unlucky with sort of the head knocks as well. And it's frustrating because, you know, we've seen that when he put some games together last year, he ran away with the Dally M in half a season or something like that. So he's just so important there because, like, their halves, they sort of mix their halves around. I don't know if the halves there are the ones to take Newcastle to the next level. So yeah, they're in all sorts of bother up there. I think they're in wooden spoon territory now.
I'll throw to you now, Ren. Do you think that the Knights without Callum Ponga, do you think they're in spoon contention now over the next 12 weeks?
Oh, look, it's certainly going to be tough for them. They've got to change their style of play now. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to create a style of play without Kalen. Obviously, they've got to stop mixing in the halves combination. Obviously, what I touched on just previously about Ciro sticking solid with the halves combination, even after a couple of losses. I think they need to adopt more of a Raiders kind of style of play.
Mm.
Just run hard, tackle hard, and kick to corners. Because they losing Kalen, you lose that spark.
Yeah.
You lose that X factor. The concerning thing for me about Newcastle was round one when they were trying to play sideline to sideline. Yeah. They weren't willing to roll their sleeves up, punch it through the middle. And you saw it against the Dogs. You know, they had a superior pack on paper. Now it's time for Adam O'Brien to change his tactics for the Knights to compete. But certainly over the next 12 weeks, it's going to be extremely tough for them without Kalen. And why is it called a Liz Frank? Like, who's Liz Frank? Is that a person?
Sounds like a couple. Have you done your research? Sounds like a couple, man. Liz and Frank, eh?
Liz and Frank.
She's caused a couple of dramas, though, hasn't
she? Willie Mason did his Liz Frank in 2004. And he struggled to come back. He came back after 4 months, but he was still struggling for 5 months. So
do you think that if say Knights don't win a game for next, what, 2 or 3 months, do they even bring him back this year? What's the point, you know?
Yeah. It's
I'm not saying they won't win a game, but,
That's a fair question. When a player's on taking that much of your cap up and you can't make the eight, do you bring him back for your fans or do you put him on ice for the and I mean like the ice cubes just for the rest of the season?
Hope so.
Yeah, well, it is quite devastating for him. We spoke about it at the start. I mean, a guy that's been riddled with injury and particularly those concussions. I mean, he got sent to Canada and was going to be told that his career was over because of these concussions.
Well, I guess the positive is it's not another head knock, is it? So we will see him back.
Yeah.
Maybe he has to take the headgear off too.
Yeah.
It's clearly not doing anything. It could be.
Well, he's had all these nice hairstyles over the past season. Well, it could be a bit
of bad luck. Just get rid of the headgear and then no injuries, no concussion.
Well, he's had the bleached hair. He's had the combs.
What,
he had
what
the
does
curls.
The headgear actually do?
Oh, absolutely nothing. I only wore mine because I love Steve Renoff, the Pearl. I probably don't remember who that is. I had the mullet and the old headgear, but yeah, it did nothing. But it was just more of a fashion statement, really.
Yeah, no, I've worn a few headgears in my time. It looks all right, doesn't it?
Had old white a few Jared scrums, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Let's talk about Jerome Hughes. Obviously, there's been a few rumours floating around that he wants to go back to Queensland.
Yeah.
If you're a Queensland team right now, whether you're the Cowboys, whether you're the Broncos, whether you're the Titans, you are throwing the kitchen sink at a guy like Jerome Hughes. Das, what are your thoughts, mate?
Well, as soon as you heard that, you straight away think Titans because they are desperate for a half, aren't they? Like, they've got Kieran Foran there, solid player, getting to the back of his career, a couple of injuries, but they don't have much creativity there at the moment. I think it goes back to, like, when was the last time some sort of elite halves came through? Like, you know, you had you got Cherry Evans, Foran, Ben Hunt. Those sort of players were from the sort of old under 20s there, you know, 2009. You've had Cleary come through.
Yep.
Mm.
Like, I'm sort of, you know, you got Hughes was a bit of a late bloomer. Cody Walker's a bit late, but like
Hughes started off as a fullback too in reserve grade. He played fullback for the Titans, pretty sure.
I think like Katoa's probably the only one that's been for a number of years a kid that you think, all right, this kid's going to be a special kind of halfback. And I get what you're saying. You know, they're dime a dozen halfbacks and you just got to hold on to them when you get them. But, you know, in terms of Jerome, obviously the Titans. Yeah. And as you said, he transitioned from fullback into to the halves. I remember when he first started playing half, it looked awkward. Like he didn't look like a natural half. But he's just on the ball all the time. He said that try where he put the kick through against the Roosters, followed his own kick, you know, fend on, scores in the corner. He competes. Defensively strong. Someone like the Titans could definitely use him. Cowboys, how old's Chad Townsend now? He'd be
he's
at the pointy end.
Early 30s, I'm pretty sure. I think there was talk that he was going to get a Super League deal quite soon too for Tom Didden to go to seven.
Right. So if he wants to go back to Queensland, Townsville's like pretty much Papua New Guinea, so you can count that out. It's a long way. So, Titans or Dolphins?
Look at that young kid.
Nick Arima's doing well. I mean, I think Titans will definitely be the number one sort of choice.
Do you think with a guy like Hughes, who it's a very awkward combination at Melbourne there, you've got two guys that are very off the cuff and that are willing to make that low percentage play as well. Do you think that if Hughes goes to another club, maybe he's a six?
Seven and six aren't too dissimilar these days. I mean, look, you want your seven and six to share the role or play on the same side of the field. You know, when you get floating halves is great, but I mean, but on the flip side of that, you've got DCE who controls Manly and then it complements Brooks's game because he doesn't have to control everything. It all depends on the chemistry between the two halves. I mean, it can work and they can make it work.
Has Kieran and Hughes played together for
the Kiwis?
Kiwis?
I'm sure they have.
I think they have at one stage,
Yeah, maybe that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair.
Foz is kicking on now, though. Jeez.
Yeah,
he's got another year in him.
Yeah. I don't know. He seems to be on his deathbed. And then
he looks like he's
resurrected. Yeah.
I think he's a granddad
and then
now.
Then he'll take it straight back into
he's
the
a granddad.
I'm pretty sure. I think they said on the Hello Sport podcast he's a granddad. So.
No, I think he's not a granddad. What?
Pretty sure he is. Pretty sure he's got a grandkid.
Maybe his missus. Yeah, but Foz, you know what? He's played above his weight.
I hope I'm right. Fuck. That'd be pretty awkward to hear that one.
I think maybe his missus. Foz has played above his weight forever. One of the toughest halves you've ever seen in this competition, ever.
Yeah.
So to see him still running around, to have someone like Hughes next to him.
Yeah. Remember to send him out a winner. 2011, that 12, when he would take it right into the line. I think it was against the Bulldogs, and he just kept getting whacked and whacked. But then, you know, that would create the centre. The centre would go in that touch.
He just create that many options because he got into the line. You know, like most people will get into the line and turn their back or pass it that fraction too early.
Yeah.
Because Foz used to get so deep into the line, you had to crack him.
Mm.
Yeah, he's one of the all-time greats.
He's a great.
On and off the field.
Yep.
Now, a club we haven't thrown into the mix is the Broncos. Obviously, Renault's going to be retiring, or you'd think, in the next 2 years. What do you think about that move for Hughesy?
Well, he's another older head for Ezra.
Yep. Yep.
Renault's signed till the end of 25.
Yeah.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, so he's got next year as well. And Jerome has been rumoured to want to go up there when.
Mm.
So where do you play him if he signs at the Broncos next year?
Oh, that's a good point.
When's he off contract at Melbourne?
He's off contract, I think, 2027, but I'm hearing there could be an early release.
Okay. Well, you know, considering that Munster's carrying that groin injury, he's in a lot of pain, Munster.
Yeah.
Like, spoken to a couple of people, he's a week-to-week injury. Mm. I know people have reported on that. Would Melbourne want to let him go if Munster's...
Well, I think there's a... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a young kid there in the halves in Melbourne. I think your man Braith manages him and...
he's played a few games.
Has it?
Yeah, and the Gold Coast tried to get him up, but he wouldn't... He didn't want to leave Melbourne. So it's sort of weird that he wouldn't want to leave Melbourne if he knows that he's stuck behind... Hughes and thing, but you know, I'm just trying to put two and two.
Could you put Pappenhausen in the halves? Have you seen that?
He played there against Brisbane in that one game.
You could potentially put him there to bring Farlongo in.
Is he that Samoan kid?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's so good.
It's to have him sitting in reserve grade.
That's another thing. Like, that was going to be my next point. Like, you know, when you're coming through and all you want to do is play NRL, it's all you want to do. You're at a club and you're just waiting for your opportunity. Like, that must be how good it is down at Melbourne, because these kids are willing to wait to get into that team, even if they have to wait an extra year or something like that. Like,
such a good system.
You know what I mean? It's unbelievable. I can't believe it. Like, if that was me early in my career, I'd say, let me out if you want to go play NRL. But these kids are, because they just want to play in that team.
Well, keep in mind, you've got Rod Wishart's son, Tyron Wishart, in there as well. Yeah. That's sitting in reserve grade at the moment too. And he is a freak. That game he came in against the Roosters in that final, he was unbelievable. Played him at halfback, but he's been playing hooker, I think, for the Bears every time he's been in there. But a regular first grader now, playing a bit of 14.
Yeah. It just proves how good a system they have. And out of sight, out of mind down there.
Like, yeah.
Once you've started playing a few years of first grade and you see what the circus of maybe Queensland or Sydney can be, you stay down there and earn your money and fly under the radar, because no one gives a shit about NRL down there. Well, not many people do anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll be very surprised if Jerome is released.
Yeah.
Because I can't see too many options as elite as Jerome bringing into the halves.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see if he does go, if Melbourne do let him go. Obviously, you mentioned with Munster having that injury, you don't even know if he's going to get that early release, and maybe you might have to wait till 2027 before you bring him in. Well, let's talk about the final point before we get stuck into the tips. James Fisher-Harris going to the Wahs. What about this signing?
Chirp. Massive. I think it's the biggest signing for Warriors in their history. He's obviously paid his dues at Penrith, delivered 3 grand finals, been the premier prop for a number of years now. I think it's only fitting that Penrith gave him the release, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's respect to Penrith to say, Fisher Harris, you've done enough for our club. We'd love to keep you, but we understand you want to go home. And he is what a warrior is.
Yeah.
You know, he's the golden boot.
Yeah.
He's the New Zealand captain. So to see him in a Warriors jersey is going to be special, not only for New Zealand, but, you know, footy fans in general. He's going home to his people and to his family, and he's going to deliver the same sort of game that he did with Penrith. And it's just only straight. They lose Fenua Blake, they get Fisher-Harris.
Well, when I seen that Fenua Blake wanted to release, I thought they're in all sorts of bother here. Like, who could they possibly get who's off contract or whatever to try and replace Fenua Blake? Because I think he's probably the best front row in the game. Like, he's X factor. He's playing big minutes, but
and he's not the biggest prop.
Nah,
he's not a big guy.
Nah.
But he just plays hard, plays tough.
Footwork.
Brings out the best. Minutes. You know what? And I think Leota's kind of matched him this year.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think he's developed Leota as a front rower. He's been a good mentor for him. And he's probably thought, you know what? My job's done here.
I think Warriors are finally getting their recruitment right. Like, you think over however many, you know, say the last 10 years, I just think their recruitment was pretty poor, you know. They'll sign these players on big money and they'll go over there and sort of be let down. Like, I remember Ryan Hoffman was a real good signing. He sort of went over and sort of changed them a little bit. But yeah, they just haven't got it right. But lately, I think they've been outstanding. So
Mitch Barnett.
Barnett, yeah.
Goes from the back row to the front row.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding.
Yeah.
He's aggressive. He's got footwork. He's probably got the IQ of a back rower too, so he can pass. Wade Egan, like, his ability out of dummy half creates the opportunities for SJ and for the halves.
Yeah.
What he does out of dummy half, the only thing for me is if he gets another head knock, or it's concussions for him. Mm. Like, he would be another bolter for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Wild side, Wade Egan. Everything's created around the ruck. Mm. And as I said, I'd have Coruscant, and if he couldn't play 80, I'd have Wade Egan over Robson on the bench. Robson?
Yeah.
Because Origin is played through the middle third of the field and your opportunities are created from the nine.
We spoke about Mitch Barnett. Do you think that he's maybe a little bit of a bolter as well?
Yep, definitely. He's put on size. Like I said, aggressive. If he can keep his aggression in check, Origin, you get away with a lot of things.
Mm.
But he would not look out of place in a New South Wales jersey.
You know what's hectic? I don't think we've had a Warrior play for New South Wales in 10 years or something ridiculous like that.
You're gonna get Hoffman might have been the last.
Not sure.
Hoffman?
Yeah, really? Maybe Hoffy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got two of them already as bolters for this New South Wales side. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely insane. Going back to Penrith, though, this is my opinion. I want to see what you guys think.
Yep.
Do you think that Fisher-Harris gone, Luai gone in the same year at the same time, is this, are you sort of getting closer and closer to the end of Penrith's premiership run?
It's a conveyor belt out there. They've already built their culture.
Mm.
One drops off, another one drops in. Once they've got their system built, it is proven. They just need to bring the next person in. Yeah, they're losing class and they might drop off to fourth or fifth sort of place side, but I'm sure they've got kids coming through. Once a proven system is in place, let's the conveyor belt. Bring the next one in.
Reminds me, say, like when you first come in that strong Bulldogs team, I came in that strong Seagulls team. It's like the kids are ready to go. Like you get in there and you know what's expected of you. And like if you can't handle it, they just punt you and they get someone that can. So there's no – like you just know that, well, this is what I have to do. So I think like they've got the biggest junior nursery out there. They've got heaps of cash. Like, they'll be fine.
Yeah, the club knows what they're doing in terms of Cleary. They don't just let Fisher-Harris go without knowing that there's someone else coming through.
For sure.
I think they keep Yo, they keep Dylan Edwards, they keep Cleary, and they build teams around them three. They're still what, mid-20s?
Yeah.
Still young.
Yeah. And I mean, as well, someone we haven't even spoken about as a bolter really for New South Wales is Mitch Kenny. He's been unreal at hooker over the past few years for the Penrith side and, you know, gets through the tough stuff at the start of the game and you obviously bring off someone faster off the bench or they've literally made him play 82 before as well and he's been fantastic. And they've just re-signed him as well. So, I mean, they do know what they're doing in terms of re-signing guys. It's an interesting point you bring up about the juniors because Isaiah Katoa was actually supposed to be the next guy. He was in that Penrith system before he went over to the Dolphins. Sean O'Sullivan's left as well. He was sort of here and there talked about as the next guy. And then obviously Jack Cole, who came in that World Club game, was a bit 50-50 in defence as well.
Cogger was there as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, Cogger obviously played in that grand final as well. So you talk about the juniors, you talk about the guys coming through, but they have lost quite a bit too. So it will be interesting to see who that next guy is coming up through the grades for them going into the next few years. I'm very excited for them.
They'll be fine.
What about in the tunnel as well after the Bulldogs and Knights game? Obviously, Reid Marnie and Jack Hetherington having a bit of a stink in there.
Hetherington.
I used to watch him play going, this kid's a fucking lunatic, you know, but I admired his style of play. And then when you got Reid going at him on the field, it actually crossed my mind straight away. I thought, he's going to wait for him in the tunnel. And there's no weight classes in rugby league. So
how funny was it, Reid walking up and it's like he's seen him and he's like, oh, I just play with my headgear and hope he doesn't see me.
What are you doing?
Do you reckon he thought maybe I've made a bit of a mistake here? But
mate, Hetherington had that face like, I'm smiling, but hey, it's just what you get. You know, you want to mouth off on the field. It's a tough one, man, because he looks like the bully picking on a hooker. But if you're mouthing off on the field, you've got to
cop it either way.
You know, Hetherington's missing one game from that little stink in the sheds as well, which is so
ridiculous. I think I seen Reid actually got fined for it as well.
He did.
I'm not sure what he did wrong.
For looking at his headgear and not looking up.
You got $1,000 for getting bullied.
For getting punched in the chest.
Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, in Hetherington's case, I feel like the more and more I watch him, whether he'd been at the Warriors, whether he'd be at the Panthers, whether he'd be at the Knights, the more and more I think, fuck, it'd be good fun on a night out, tell you that for free.
With Darcy. Can you imagine them two? Jesus.
Not you.
Mate, I've turned my life around.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Show me how.
Still spinning.
I am stuck in the vortex.
All right, guys, let's get into our tips for round 7. Who have we got for the first game? The Warriors taking on the Gold Coast Titans.
My bet of the round. Warriors 13 plus. Mm. Reason being, they had a bad loss last week. Mm. I know Titans put 30 on Manly.
Mm.
So everyone's sort of saying, you know, this could be the turning point for them. But off the back of a loss, a bad one last week, and playing in New Zealand, Warriors 13 plus.
Are you going down the same round?
Yeah, I'm with Fran. I'm going to go to the Warriors this week.
Yep, perfect. Next game, obviously, is the Dragons taking on the Sydney Roosters. Anzac Day game. This one's going to be hectic. Das, what are we thinking?
This is a tough one for me. I think the Roosters just keep burning me every time I try and back them. So I'm sick of backing Mace's team, but I think I'm going to go Dragons this week.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
Dragons.
Yeah,
nice. Storm and Rabbitohs. This one's going to be a tough one just because you don't know what you're going to expect from the Rabbitohs, eh?
I mean, they've had the bye and obviously Latrell's out. You don't know what to expect. JD, all the turmoil, you know, but playing down there. And they've traditionally done well against Storm down there. But I have to go to Storm.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Melbourne and Melbourne.
That's all right. I'm going for the Storm too. Just
you quietly. Are?
Yeah,
you
I can't go with the Rabbitohs.
You're going against your team.
I've gone against my team twice and come up beautiful. So.
Oh. Wow. It's a bit selfish. But yeah, I'm going to go Melbourne
team.
The Burrow's not going to be happy.
Yeah, I might stay away from the South Centre this week. Yeah, who
Melbourne.
You? Melbourne?
Melbourne, Melbourne.
All right. Seagulls and Eels. What are we thinking, Das?
Look, it was a bad time in the Lussick household this week with the loss for the Eels. My dad was very cranky. Yeah. He was bad to be around. So I'm praying that the Eels win this week. Eels for me.
I'd love to just be a fly on the wall in that group chat. Tell you what, that would be some interesting...
You should be in jail. You should be locked up.
Where's this game? This game at Combank or?
Yeah, it's...
No, it's a Brookie.
Brookie.
Yeah, it's a Brookie.
Friday night. I know.
Mm. No one wants to play a Brookie on a Friday night, so we'll go Manly.
All right, Tigers, Broncos. What are we thinking here? Ren?
Broncos.
Broncos. But Tigers have been trying.
Mm.
But Broncos.
And Galvin too at halfback. I mean... Mm. You don't know what you're going to get there. Could be a bit of an upset. Cowboys, Panthers. What are we thinking, Dust?
Where's that played at?
Cowboys home.
I'm going to go for the upset this week. I'm going to go Cowboys.
Nice.
No, I've got to go with Panthers. Cowboys have been disappointing.
Dolphins and Knights.
This is my bet of the week this week. I think that with the Knights, with Ponga out, and the form's been pretty bad as well. So put me down for the Dolphins, 13 plus.
Ooh, right. Dolphins.
All right, and then the last game of the round, Raiders and Sharkies. And Sharkies obviously without Trindall in this game. Ren?
Sharks are leading the comp, right?
Mm.
And they've just lost Fogarty, the Raiders. So it'd be hard to back against the Sharks. They'll put up a fight, Raiders, but I think Sharks will be too good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I think the Sharks. I think the Sharks, but could go either way.
All right, well, let's get into our best bets for the round. Das, I'll start with you, mate. What are we thinking this week?
New show, new me. Awful last few weeks. So I'm looking to get some winners this week. So I'm going to mix up this week. I'm going to go 3 anytime try scorers. Dallin Watene-Zelezniak, Cameron Munster, Reece Walsh. So multi them together and put it on Crossbet.
Yeah, lovely. And then, Rennie, you've got more legs here than a five-legged horse. What's going on?
Yeah, because I'm pretty confident with my gambling.
Responsibly, of course.
Just let me check my Crossbet app. Warriors at minus 12.
Mm-hmm.
Fenua Blake, anytime try scorer. Storm head-to-head with Oates, anytime try scorer. And I'm going to go Dolphins head-to-head, Bostock, anytime try scorer. For $22.57.
Wow. Ooh, I like it. Well, I haven't got that much value and I haven't got that many legs because I need to keep it simple. My punting form, obviously, immaculate at the moment. Sharks head-to-head, Roosters head-to-head for me, and then I've got the Dolphins with the minus 6.5 start at $3.84. Nice and simple. Hopefully, we get up this week. Mm. Hopefully, have a bit better luck.
We'll be nice, mate. We'll where we spending the money when we win on one.
Crossbet, guys.
Put it straight back into Crossbet. Let's go.
Straight back into Crossbet. Make sure you get into the Crossbet app, and obviously all of our bets are under the BTFU hub, so make sure you get in there. You can put our multis on in one click. It is so simple. It is so easy. Make sure you get in there. Also, the BTFU Discord. If you need any help getting into the Discord, contact myself, contact Mace, or one of the admins of the WhatsApp app. If you're still in the WhatsApp, obviously moving over into the Discord. Lads, it was good to have you on for the first show. I think we did all right, didn't we?
Yeah. It's a full moon, boys.
Well, you know what that means.
What does it mean?
Let's go.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on screen or visit the website.